Amen, church. Give him praise for what God's doing today. Amen. All right, you may be seated. You know, we've been reminded through the hymns, many of those hymns for those of us that were churched. Okay, hold on. See, this is the problem we have with church people. Y'all think people know those songs. Y'all call them oldies. Well, people that have never, ever, ever, ever been to church, those are called newbies. It's the first time they've ever heard them. And they speak of powerful things of God. And so how many of you all are delighted that you're here today? And I want to start out with something that ought to be very obvious to you. And I hope it's obvious to you. I hope you're doing it. How many of you are glad to be alive? You're just, okay. And so I want to start. I know this has more meaning at 8 o'clock service than it will on down the day. That people go, yeah, I'm alive. But it also has to do with what we talked about last week. Last week, what happened to the people that were called out of Egypt by God, who called them out of Egypt? And God is calling them out of Egypt because who has given them a promise? Good. Y'all go ahead and talk, okay? God. Now, why are they coming out of Egypt? They're not coming out of Egypt because they're exceptionally good people. They're not coming out of Egypt because, you know, they've created something wonderful. They're coming out of Egypt because God made a promise to Abraham. Now, that's what I want you to get today. Because let me tell you something that we're confused about in the church. We can't save ourselves. What you're watching right now in the world, global world, is something that is as old as Adam. We will try to save our what? What did Adam do as soon as they got in that sin problem? The first thing they did, as soon as they sinned, they did what God told them not to do. They broke a promise, okay, and they immediately went and what? Hid. And as soon as God confronts Adam, what does he do? Hold on, he does what, Lee? He blames the woman. Some of you ladies are going, yeah, he ought to know better than that. Well, hold on. No, what does he really try to do? He tries to save himself. It's not my fault, it's her fault. Now, come on. If you're married, and you've been married for more than 2 weeks, how many of y'all have done that at least once? It's your fault. It's somebody else's fault. But you know what God's done with the children of Israel? He said, I am bringing you out of Egypt. And I am bringing you to the where? To the promised land. Now, do you understand this? God's promise has a destination. Now, you need to tell your neighbor that. God's promise. Come on, tell him. Come on. God's promise has a destination. Because, you know, without a destination, none of this makes any sense. I mean, why don't we just stay in bed this morning if there's not a destination? What's the use of having salvation if it's just the point of making you good? God has a destination. That's what people really are confused about God. Watch this. I am saved, destined to heaven. And here's what I want you to know. I mean, y'all got to get a hold of this. How many? There is going to be a final day to earth existence. I don't know why we're so surprised by it. Y'all ever been to a movie? What happens at the end of the movie? The end. Those of you that grew up with Bugs Bunny cartoons, what happened after 20 minutes? That's all, folks. Da, 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 da. Same thing going to happen to the world. That's all, folks. Now, let me ask you a question. When the world is over, will you have a destination? Or have you so loved the world that you will only hold on to what was? See, a lot of us, it's just about here and it's just about now. But God's about taking you to the destination. Now, here's what I want you to know. Last week we saw them get saved. And before you can truly understand your salvation, guess what you got to face? Your death. Remember, the Egyptians were behind them. The Red Sea was in front of them. Here's what I'm telling you. You need to rejoice about this a little bit. God makes the impossible possible. Does anybody rejoice a little bit about that? That God makes the impossible possible. I don't know if you all saw Nightline. I think it was Thursday night. Anybody see Nightline Thursday night? Great. They were debating whether there's a Satan, whether there's a real Satan. They had Mark Driscoll, who's at Mars Hill Church. They had a lady who had been in the escort business, who had been delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ, and both of them believed that there was a literal Satan. And then they had his name's slipping me. He's Epod. Capra, Dr. Capra, and he believed in the spiritual centering of all the universe, and we all spin and centrifuge until one day we hit the ultimate. I mean, these are really things people believe. He didn't believe in a literal Satan. He just believed that you had issues and you'll overcome your issues. How? Think about that for a minute. How do I overcome my issues? If I could overcome my issues, what would I overcome? My issues. And then we had Bishop Carleton, who Bishop Carleton had preached the gospel for a while, actually had been involved in services where demons were delivered, but he believed that when you yielded and gave power to the admittance of Satan, you gave him too much power, so he believes if you don't believe in the devil will go away. Now here's what I want you to know. There is evil in this world, and it has a literal name. See, I like to name stuff. You know, I like a God that God named it. He said, listen, this is evil. It's got a name. It's called Satan. And there is a contrast. God is going to get his promise done, but it will be opposed. We'll be opposed. Y'all know I coach football. I love football. I love the game of football. And there's some things, though, that really just bore me during the game of football, especially during practice. Like, I hate what they call running plays on air. I hate it. I hate it. And that's where, like, and usually the offense does this, and they all line up, and they go through their play, but nobody gets to hit them. You know how boring that is? I want the opposition there. I want you to understand that there is going to be opposition in life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There are going to be things that are tough. And I just want you to know, in case you're still on this age-long search trying to find the age of Aquarius in Utopia, it's not going to happen this side of this dimension called Earth. But we're heading to that place. There's a promised land. How many of y'all glad to know there's a promised land? And what God promises, God provides for. That's what I want us to know today. The God who delivered the children of Israel, took them to the other side. Who got them across there? Were they opposed? I mean, Egypt wants to kill them. How many of y'all get this? This isn't like, okay, we're going to go get the Israelites back. They've been bad people. We're going to see if they won't come back and work for us. We want to negotiate with them. Uh-uh. We're going to kill them. And God said, no, you're not. Because they're a people of promise. Now, hold on. I want you to know something. How many of you all bear the marks of Jesus Christ in your life? You bear the marks of Jesus Christ in your life. Go read the Bible. Go check your pastor on this. There's not one moment of history those who've been faithful hadn't been opposed. The only group of Christians who have created this I escape conflict theology happen to reside in the United States of America. And that's only here recently. Since the 60s, we really got into that. You know, we're going to get on our magic balloon and just coast in through our lives. It gets uncomfortable when you follow God to His promise. And guess what? When people get uncomfortable, what do? Got moan? What do you do when you get uncomfortable? Go home? Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Can you go home if you've been removed from your home? They really can't go back to Egypt. Why? They'll kill them. So I can't go back to where I came from. I can't go back to what I know. And I'm in the desert with a guy named Moses. and I'm not getting what I want. What? Come on, just work with me today. What do you all do when you don't get what you want? Okay, somebody whines. What do some of y'all do?
Get mad at God.
How many of y'all get mad at God? I used to get mad at God when I was a kid because the snow in my neighbor's yard stayed longer than it did in my yard. I thought God didn't like me because he melted my snow first when I was a little kid. How many of y'all ever grumbled before? I mean, you just grumbled. You just gripe. You wake up in the morning. You tell God about why all these things can't happen in your life. Any of y'all got that kind of attitude? Well, I want to challenge you this morning with the truth of the Word of God. So first of all, you got to believe some things about God. How many of you realize that God's given you a promise through Jesus Christ? Your destiny is heaven. You're on your way. And then I think faith comes in this. I'm going to believe God to stand good with his promise, even when I cannot see the reality of it. Now, sometimes faith gets tough when you can't what? See it. But you know what? Here's the thing. Every one of us, and here's the problem in America. I think it's not that we're unfaithful. It's we want faith to move at our speed. We're so mad when God doesn't do it on our time. Well, God, right now I need a job. He said, I know, but we don't have any. But I'm going to provide for you. How many of y'all going to trust God to provide for you? You better anchor down and trust God to provide for you. You know why? He's the one that's been providing for you all along. It really has been God all along. You know what? This has just been my finding. I find very few people who are faithful tithers who are financially challenged. Did I do that politically correct enough? Because when you exercise your faith, you live in the promise. You know what? Most people I meet that are broke have spent 120% of their income. Y'all found the same conclusion? Now, we find that amazing today. We're going, man, I wonder how all these people got broke. By gosh, they spent 20% more than they ever had, and they're below. They are already blowing up and spending what they hadn't even earned. Now, what's going to happen eventually? Come on, just use common sense. What's going to happen? Why do we act? You couldn't have done that in the 50s. Some of y'all were alive in the 50s. Could you have had a credit card business in the 50s? Why not? Nobody would have done it. We had not reached that level of stupidity yet. In the 50s, nobody would have borrowed $5 and paid 19% interest on it. But we had to wait. Hold on, I'm going somewhere with this today that's very important. We had to wait to develop a culture that said, I want it when I want it. And now, that's exactly, I like that. Who said that? You get an A for preaching today. Now! And I don't care what it costs me. And we get it. But hold on. That's why we get it. Play with that for a minute. We get it because we get it. Now, if we want to live it, we need to let God give it. Well, they started grumbling. Go with me to Exodus chapter 16. Can you imagine this? God has delivered them over the Red Sea. I mean, here we got these people. They've gone through salvation, deliverance. That God has saved their lives. How many of y'all glad to know that God will save your life? And then we come into the Word of God, the text of God. And it says, chapter 16, verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Does this sound familiar? What are they doing? They're grumbling. I just want to give you something that I think it'll help. I wish I practiced it always. I'm going to be very honest. I believe being honest. I have found in my life, I've grumbled. How many of y'all have ever grumbled? I have found that grumble never enacts the power of God in my life. Pray. Don't just grumble that it's not going your way. God, I need to pray that it goes your way. Does that change things? Man, that puts some power in the situation. But these people are grumbling, and who do you go get? When things aren't going right, who do you go get? Guess what they don't have? They don't have any food. They never thought, well, maybe I need to go find some food. Maybe I need to go hunting. Maybe I need to go fishing. Maybe I need to go figure this out. No, we're in a new location. We're in a new destination. We're following Moses. And then as soon as it doesn't go our way, let me remind you, God delivered these people. They grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. That sound familiar? God delivers us. Wait, this. Does God want to kill them? If God wanted to kill them, what would he have said? Well, hold on. Did y'all remember the sermon last week? We got the Egyptians who want to kill the who? Israelites. And then in just a few months, 30 days or so, we got the Israelites, the people that had been delivered, who are doing what? They're griping at the leader who lifted up his staff and walked them across the Red Sea because of the power of God. And they're going, wait a minute. Have you brought us out here to kill us? Logic would tell you if I wanted to kill you, I'd just done nothing at the Red Sea. Because you were dead. Now hold on, until you realize you were dead, you'll never live. I propose to you that one of the reasons we have a weak church in America, and I'm making a big assumption there, but in America we have a weak church. Weak. Weak. Least little conflict, everybody will scramble. Least little situation, brothers and sisters will fight and divide. You know why? Because they don't follow God. You can't do that kind of stuff and follow God. Amen. Then there comes a moment that you ask Moses, Moses, are you going to starve us? Now hold on, what did I tell you? When God places a promise in your life and God moves you to a destination in life, then God sends the what? Provision. We sang a hymn I wish we'd sing again over and over and over again. I think it would change the world. I have decided to. Why? You ever thought about why you follow Jesus? Why would you follow Jesus? Here's why I follow Jesus. He's connected to God's first promise. He said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations, he said to Abraham. Jesus is God's promise. Jesus said, I'm going to deliver you from your sins and I'm going to sustain your life because the ultimate destination is you will live with me in heaven forever and ever and ever. Amen. How many of y'all glad to know there's a point to following God? I will follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. If you follow something, then you're going what? Somewhere. Now, if you look at our modern prophets, do you go anywhere? Because watch this, you will always spin in circles when you're the center of your destination. And anytime the theology or the philosophy starts with you, that means it has a definite ending. But when your theology, your philosophy, your faith starts with God, that means it goes on what? Forever and ever and ever. Isn't that cool? And so the children of Israel, here's what I want you to know today. God will come through when you and I are empty. How many of y'all believe that? This gets good. Come on, I got to wake you up. This gets good here. They're griping. How many of y'all have ever grumbled and asked God for some things? God, I'm out. Now you got to get honest with God. If you've had it and if you've blown it, then what do you need to do? Repent. God, I've been greedy. God, I've been selfish. God, I've overspent. God, I bought stuff I don't need. Why does it get so quiet when I bring these things up? I mean, there's a hushed silence over here right now. Y'all are looking at me like, oh my gosh, Pastor, you mean actually repent? Mm-hmm. What's this? How would this change us? Lord, I'm greedy. How would this change us in the church? Lord, for some reason, my conscience is so seared By my culture, I can walk by hungry people and not give them a dime. And then on the other side, my conscience is so seared, I believe that people ought to take care of me. Here's the thing about the devil. He always likes to play both sides of the fence. He'll destroy you no matter what room you want to get in. And then there's God who leads you out. Amen? How many of y'all glad to know we have a God that leads us out? And as He leads us, He provides for our everyday needs. Now, this is really cool. They're grumbling. We don't have any food to eat. In Egypt, we sat by pots of meat and we ate all the bread till we were filled. Now, let me ask you a question. These guys were slaves. You reckon they were eating ribeyes in Egypt? How many of you always glamorize where you used to be? Think about it. I mean, if you came out of the party scene, you know, and you start talking about the old days, they really weren't as fun as sometimes you illustrate them, were they? Amen. You know, it's just not that fun to wake up in the morning with a headache that people have told me about this. You know, you wake up with this headache and your ears are ringing, you're like, where was I last night? Was that really that good a time? No. But if you get around and people start telling it, they kind of glamorize it, don't they? Here's where it really comes. Have y'all ever been around old men in their 40s when they start talking about their young days and their athletics? They lie. They lie all the time. I do it. In my mind now, I made every tackle that was ever brought toward my side of the ball. You can do it. After 20 years, you made every tackle, you made every block, you ran every touchdown. And then what you do, like Blake said, well, Dad, can I see some of your game film? They've destroyed that. It's such an old media that they don't even have that kind of film anymore. They don't even have projectors that can play that anymore. You remember them, Joe. Those are gone. Like dinosaurs. But you know what? It wasn't that great. In fact, a buddy of mine found some of our old game film, and I looked and I missed a lot of blocks. It wasn't as grand as I thought it was in my mind. This is what these people are doing. When we were in Egypt. Yeah, I am sure when you're in slavery, they feed you real well. They said, we had it better in Egypt. Hold on, but I got to ask you something. Do you think it's better in Egypt? Because you're never going to follow God till you become convinced it's better with Jesus. It's better with God. But I'd rather be in the desert with God than lost like hell living in Egypt. But the first moment of conflict, what happens here? We had pots of meat. Can't you just smell that? The aroma. And the fresh bread. And we were provided for. They forgot about that working and having to go get their own straw. Mm-hmm. Because what? They were in a moment of pain. Look at what happens here. God, He's merciful. Then the Lord said to Moses. Who said it? Lord. Position of authority. Lord. God. Lord. Who's He talking to? Moses. Who's going to take care of the people? The Lord. Who's He using to do it? Moses. Y'all are almost awake. We got 10 minutes to get y'all awake and then get the rest of this in here, okay? Journey and destiny. Has everybody got that? How many of y'all glad to know one day you wake up in heaven? Because you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Now hold on. You've got to live according to that. How many of y'all have had some tough moments, some bumps and bruises here on earth? Okay, I'm going to give you some good news. You're going to get some more. If you're living, you're going to get bruised. You will never hear me preach this false gospel. This is a false gospel. If you follow Jesus, everything will go smooth.
No.
Lie! That denies the New Testament. Jesus followed God and they killed Him. How smooth was that? But Jesus had a greater destiny than what you could see. Now that's where I want you all to get into, because sometimes in life it gets so immediate that we forget to see beyond. And God's up there going, wait a minute, this is food. And He said to Moses, Moses, this is how hard that is. I will rain down bread from heaven for you. How many of y'all glad to know God will take care of our bread? God will take care of our needs. God will provide on the destiny. And you know what? Watch this, church. This is explosive. One of the things we have not awakened to in the church that is located in America, that God is big enough to provide for the destiny. And you get a group of people who are understanding that God will provide and God's passion will survive and God's destiny is absolute. They become unstoppable. Amen. Possessed! When you get possessed with the passion of God, guess what you do? You say, okay, God, send the manna, the bread from heaven. I will rain down bread from heaven to you. The people are to go and do what? Gather enough for that what? Now, how many of y'all gather enough for that day? D says, no, I like to get a little extra. For what? For everyone. Jim Martins, you're on this, you've been on this finance team, the BAM team, for a long time. That's exactly what God does to us here. He's done it for 19 years. You know what God does? He gives us enough for that day. And we were $500,000 in debt with 300 people. This is the way God taught me that lesson. You know what He did? He gave us enough money each week to turn the lights on. And so if we could turn the lights on, we could turn the microphones on. When we turn the microphones on, we preach the Word of God. Guess what happened next week? We had church and God gave us just enough to keep the doors open next week. You know what? You do those enough weeks and eventually you see people going to heaven. But guess what? God does not want you to worry about tomorrow. He wants you to gather what He's given today. Amen. And a lot of us never live because we never gather. We never do it this day. How many of y'all are locked up because you're worried about tomorrow? I'm so tired of hearing about everybody's retirement. Half your retirement's gone. You don't even know if you're going to retire. Come on, I'm bringing in truth. People walk around, well, the world's coming in because my retirement's gone. Lord have mercy. We're the only people that have that thought. You think anybody in Africa, Devorah, Africa's running around, waking up in the morning going, oh my gosh, my 401's busted. Now hold on, here's what's so sad. We think God created those people less than us. That's where we're off base. That's where we're wrong. God made everybody. But guess what? They got it. They understand it a little better than us. If you're in any other country, guess what happens the first thing in the morning? First thing in the morning. Guess what they start baking? Bread. When I'm in Costa Rica, Cartago, man, I love walking down the street because early in the morning in the street, guess what smell, guess what aroma is filling the streets? The bakeries. Give us this day our daily. But see, we in America, we take our bread and we put it in a wrapper. We got it closed in. We even want to keep the aroma contained. Because we're going to do what with the bread? Keep, preserve it. We even got so smart, we injected what into our food? Preservatives so we could get cancer later. Because that's the way God wanted those vegetables to be, right? That's why He shot them with pesticides. No. You see, sometimes we mess with stuff that God what? Puts in motion. Gather the bread. God said, I'm going to send it. Tell them to gather it. Now, I want you to grab this. God makes the provision and man's got to react to the provision. If you notice, God didn't deliver it to their tent. See the balance? I kind of imagined, what if this was our moment of time and God's going to send the manna? Well, there'd be some people up there, they'd try to create the manna corporation. Well, God had a plan for that. Look at this. He said, follow my instructions. I will rain down the bread from heaven to you. The people are to go up each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they're to prepare what they bring in, and it is to be twice as much as they gather on other days. Why? Sabbath. They said, now on the sixth day, get you double Omar. That's two cups worth. Because on the seventh day, nothing's coming. We're going to rest. Church, I just want to enlighten you for just a moment on the seventh day. Some of you all that are super intelligent, I want you to do a study for me because I'm not super intelligent enough to do this study. Somebody that likes to deal with economies, I want you all to figure if we practice the Sabbath. Now, for us here in our American culture, really Sunday would be our Sabbath. If we had practiced the Sabbath, in other words, if we closed all the factories down, all the retail shops down, and on Sunday we actually practiced the Sabbath. I mean, shut her down. I wonder if we'd be in this economic crisis. When I was a kid, it's hard to find gas here in Bowling Green on a Sunday. Because guess what was closed? Everything. Guess why it's closed? Whether you was religious or not, at least it was a day of what? Rest. I just wonder if we'd have as many mental facilities as we do today if we had honored the... Just checking. But even in the desert, God said on the seventh day, we're going to rest. I'm going to get you there, but don't be in a hurry. Why? Because I'm going to what? Get you there. I'm getting you there. You're not getting yourself there. I'm getting you. Look. Oh, it's great. Then guess what he's going to do? So Moses and Aaron, verse 6, said to all the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? So Moses also said, you know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. And what does God do? He supplies their what? Need. Now, church, I'm going to ask you, has God supplied our needs? How many of y'all ate this week? And quit grumbling. Listen, if I was God, you know what I'd do to our culture? I would smack us on the rear end. That's why I'm not God. I think we got a lot to answer for. I think we got a lot to answer for to be griping about what we don't have when we live in a culture that has diet dog food. I mean, I know that sounds humorous, but you think about that for a minute. Here's the problem. It's not going to be funny, because God's going to ask us, why didn't you take care of those hungry people instead of make diet dog food? Well, Pastor Steve, you think the Lord will really hold us accountable? We're Americans. Doesn't he love us more than anybody else? Let me really answer that for you. No. He loves everything that he's created. And he marvelously wants to take care of it. And his passion and his purpose and his direction, they're absolute. How many of y'all believe that? And God's going somewhere. But here's what excites me today. Even on the way, doesn't he, Eric? On the way, he takes care of the everyday. And I think that's a promise, man, we draw on. How many of y'all glad to know your everyday is taken care of because God's with you? You know, Doc, guess who's going to take care of these beautiful girls? Absolutely, your wife. But who's working through her? The Lord. I'm glad that my wife's a godly woman. My children have a chance. God would come through us as parents and affect our children. How many of y'all enjoyed seeing all these kids up here singing today? Hold on. Think about it. And I thought about what I was preaching about today. In a daily moment, God will make a provision. If God will give them bread in the morning and quail in the evening, won't God take care of our daily needs in this culture? All right, church. Notice how God moved. A community of people going with the destiny of God. Tell me what's changed today. Go on, y'all talk a little bit. What's changed today? Nothing. I mean, y'all glad to know we have a God that would like to deliver you across the Red Sea. This time your sea is called sin. and you're trapped in your sin. I'm going to use the word right now. They ought to interview me on Nightline. I'm going to say there's still sin. It ain't a medical problem. It's not your family problem. It's not your fraudian behavior science problem. You are an absolute reprobate before God. What do you think about that? Even if you are good looking, you're just a good looking reprobate. You know what a reprobate is? Someone who's broke the law of God. How many of y'all broke the law of God? By the way, let me let you in on something else. I know it's not popular to believe this anymore. There is a hell. Let me help you. If there wasn't a hell, guess what? I'd go to Florida. I'd be in Florida this morning. If there wasn't a hell, I'd be in Florida this morning with a big old cigar teeing off right now. Looking at Merle going, you ain't going to hit nothing, son. But there's a hell. Now watch this. I don't have to tell you that there's not hell, because here's all you got to do. Keep living like you're living. You're going to find hell. Isn't that right? Isn't that right, Nick? I mean, you'll find it. You'll be bound up. You'll be in Egypt. You'll be in bondage and you'll want to get out. But it's when it's got you that God will start speaking. I'm going to get you out. I'm going to deliver you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to take you to the other side. I'm going to point a new direction in your life. And this morning we've learned, in the midst of the direction, who will provide? Yeah. God will provide. How many of y'all believe that? So I want to invite you to this. First of all, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ in your life, first of all, you got to realize you're a sinner. That wasn't hard for me, man. I know I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. How many of y'all know you're a sinner? There's this thing called the Ten Commandments. Watch this. First one says, have no other gods before God. How many of y'all have had some other gods before? Malls. How many of y'all ladies get more excited about going to the mall than you do following Jesus? How many of you men, if you're like me, get to go to like a sporting goods shop? You're like, ugh. I mean, I wish I could, man, I've been more fired up going to a sporting goods shop than I have to church before. I've been more fired up walking into a Harley Davidson store, man. Walking, I mean, it's a worship experience. Leather, the incense of leather, the sounds of the worship choir. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. You know what God said? Have no other gods before. How many of y'all have ever stole something? God said, don't steal stuff. I'm breaking this down. Kentucky Ten Commandments, all right? Don't be looking at your neighbor's wife and thinking. Or if you live in West Kentucky, thoughtin'. Don't be looking over there thoughtin'. Be careful. Live out the day that you've been given. And the only way you can do that is say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Sin. Not sins. Sin. It's a wiring. What? I can help you understand sin. It's a computer virus. Any of y'all ever gotten a virus in your computer? What does it do? Destroys what in the computer? Everything. And I don't know how they work. I don't know how computer works. I don't know how spell check works. I'm amazed. I'm a little kid, man. I'm amazed every day when I try to spell something, I hit spell check and it goes, boom, gives me the right word. And I smile and think about my second grade teacher who said I could never make it because I couldn't spell. Little did she know I was a prophet and I knew spell check was coming many years ahead. See, spell check. I don't know how viruses work, but you know what I know? They get into the system and they shut it down. That's what sin does. It gets into our system. Check this out, Tony. It gets up into our system and it shuts our ultimate destiny down. We do not get to go to heaven. But in Christ, we get to go to heaven. I'm just showing you nothing's changed. The Exodus, Jack, is the story. God delivers us. God sustains us. God brings us promise. So today, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what I'm strongly going to suggest? If you feel the Lord calling you, say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Sins. Guess what Jesus will do? Forgiven. Boom, Red Sea. And guess what? About 30 days after you've been saved, you'll get out there and go, I want to go back. This is tough.
You'll start smelling those pots of meat that never existed. And the bread will taste better than it really tasted. And then God, in the midst of that, will say, hey, listen to me. Listen to me. I will take care of this day. So I want to stop there. So how many of y'all need to come and just be thankful today that we got a God that takes care of this day? You don't have to take as many medications if you'll start believing that. God, this is your day. I don't have to be anxious. Really, whose day is it? Can I ask you all a question? Y'all help me. Why are Christians so anxious about the end of time? Because I'm kind of excited about the end of time. This is the only life I get to live where I know what's going to happen in the fourth quarter. I already know. God's already told me that He wins the game. Isn't that cool? How many of y'all have ever done this? This is the way my life kind of runs. You see, I'm back old school. You videotaped or you DVD'd or you DVR'd or LTB'd or whatever you do now. You recorded a ball game. And you were recording it because, you know, you were going to church or something. You were doing what you were supposed to do and you recorded the game. And sure enough, you recorded the game because you wanted to go watch the game, right? When you got home, you were going to watch the game. But inevitably, when you're recording the game and you're going to go watch the game, what happens? You bump into somebody and they say, man, was that not just amazing that the true basketball team in Kentucky scored 103 points? Like, did Kentucky play this year in I was doing a Fellowship of Christian Athletes Monday night, and somebody said, well, we need to pray for Kentucky. They're playing. I said, I thought the high school tournament was over on Saturday night. I said, oh, that's bad. Now I got all the Kentucky fans in mind. Get your mind back on Jesus. But how many of y'all, somebody's told you the score before you watch the game? How many of you, your team won, and you still watch the game? I did. And you know what? When it got in the third quarter and they were behind by 3 touchdowns, I already knew what the score was going to be. And guess what I was able to do? I was able to chill out. That's exactly what's happened to us. Folks, Jesus Christ comes and gets His people, and He's not going to let go of His people. And here's what I want you to know, and I'm going to shut up. Egypt couldn't hold God's people. Rome couldn't hold God's people. Hitler couldn't get God's people. Mussolini couldn't control God's people. Here's what I want you to know. There will never, ever, ever, never, ever be a human being that can stop God. So when you get hungry, you better step into the morning and pick up the bread. And in the evening, when you wonder, hey, wait a minute, am I going to make it? Better look at it. Well, there's some quail. Now, somebody did ask me, do you reckon you ever get tired of eating quail and manna? I guess you just get real creative for 40 years. Manna quail, manna quail helper. I mean, you got a lot of things to go on with that, all right? And you get it done. But here's what I really know. If I'm eating... Hold on, here's what I really know on that. If I'm eating, if I am ingesting what God has sent, it never grows old. Because it's taken me to where He's destined me. Amen? Y'all got any questions? Think this stuff will work? How many of y'all glad to be people of God? All right, there's going to be some people get saved this morning. Y'all all right with that? Y'all going to be witnesses of God's salvation this morning? Some of you need to come and thank God that He's taking care of you. Some of you need to thank God that He is going to get you through no matter what you've done. All right? Y'all are wonderful guests. I hope you've survived and made it through. We want you to know we got a God that provides. So let's stand. And as we sing, and as we pray, hear this prayer. Lord, for those who are going to be drawn to faith right now, may You draw them. Draw them, Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to thank You that You have provided. God, I want to thank You in a national way. We forget about the history of this nation so quick in the states that we live in it.
We forget about those winters that people starve to death in America. And Lord, sometimes we forget that we are the provision for somebody else. Remind us of that. But right now, Jesus, we ask that you bring some people across their Red Sea. If you know he's pulling at your heart, why don't you tell him right now, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know it. And God, if you can send manna and quail, I'm believing today you can save me. And so, Lord, I ask you right now to come into my life and I ask you to save my sin. I ask you to just cleanse me from all things. Lord, I ask you to show me your love, even where I feel unlovable. God, make it possible where I think it's impossible. So draw me to you, Lord. Tell him, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I ask you for your forgiveness. I believe you died on the cross. You've risen from the grave. Jesus, I receive you. See what he does. Let's come and give thanks. If you need to be healed, God would love to heal you. Why don't we let God just have a moment at the altar? Church, come on. He is our provision. He is our truth. He is our love. For just a moment, come and worship him. Everybody's welcome here to the altar, by the way. Everybody's welcome. You like to be a member of this church to come up here. We got people who love God. That's what it's really going to be like one day. So come and let's thank God. Let's thank him. Let's thank him.